Thank you very much for your welcome. It's good to be with you here this morning. I'm here this morning with Jean, my wife, and two children, Jessica, who's aged 9, and Bernice, aged 7. And some of you may have seen them, some unusual faces just going upstairs. I work with Transworld Radio. I've been with them for the last 3 years. But before that, I was working with another Christian mission called FIBA Radio. Some of you may be familiar with that. It's an organization based in UK that also broadcasts Christian programs to other countries. And I was with FIBA Radio since 1990. And so, although I've only been with Transworld Radio for 3 years, I've been involved in Christian radio for quite a lot longer than that. One of the logo which we use, you'll see in a picture in a minute. It's got TWR at the top. The initials stand for Trans World Radio. And as the name implies, then we broadcast to most of the world. But not places like the Antarctic or the Arctic, obviously, but everywhere, all the countries where there's a large population, then we broadcast there. And at the bottom, you can see it says Life-Changing Radio. And the reason we're there is to broadcast programs which would change people's lives. And the next picture you will see an old man listening to the radio. We broadcast many different types of programs. Some of our programs are about health. In Africa and many parts of the world, people's health is not too good. There may only be one doctor for a very large number of people. And so by broadcasting programs on health, we're able to improve people's life. We also broadcast programs on agriculture. We know in this country we've got advanced farming methods, but in Africa, in many places as well, their farming methods are very poor. People are only producing a few crops, and drought and floods often cause a lot of problems for them. And so we broadcast programs to help people in their farming methods and to improve their crops. But most importantly, we broadcast Christian programs. Some of those programs are aimed at non-believers to introduce them to the Lord Jesus. And we pray that many of them will turn to the Lord and become believers. And we also broadcast programs which are for those who already believe in our Lord Jesus and to build up Christians. In many countries, there's very very little good Bible teaching. And so we broadcast programs that will help to build up existing Christians and help them grow in their faith. We even hear of pastors who regularly tune into Transworld Radio and base the sermons on the Sunday on what they hear on Transworld Radio during the week. So that's quite a responsibility. Here you can see some women who are listening to the radio. Women in many parts of Africa and probably other places in the world as well, they are the ones who go out to work to earn a living for the family, and they're also the ones that bring up the family. And they work hard, and yet they have the least rights in society. So we have an initiative called Project Hannah, where we broadcast programs which help women in their particular situation. We also broadcast programs for younger people. In this picture here, you can see some children. We also broadcast not just to children, but youth as well. In many countries of Africa, the average age is somewhere around 15, or in other countries, 18. It's a very young population. And that's because of things like AIDS, where many people of middle age are dying off early because of the disease. Also because of things like malaria. In Swaziland, where we live, the average, well, the life expectancy is in the upper 30s. It used to be around 37, and I don't know if it's improved much since then, but it's likely to be below 40. When I'm in Swaziland and I'm walking around the streets shopping, I feel as if I'm the oldest one around. It's not often I see people older than me around the streets, although you do occasionally. But now I've come back to UK, I feel quite young, because when I walk around the streets here, I see there are far more elderly people. So it's quite a change. I realise I'm not so old after all. The next picture shows a Muslim preacher. And that reminds us that in many countries where we broadcast, we're broadcasting to a Muslim audience. And so their needs are completely different to what others are. And so we broadcast Christian programs which aim to introduce Muslims to the Lord Jesus Christ. We also broadcast programs that go into more animistic areas of Africa and to introduce them to the Lord as well, or to build up the Christian church which already exists in those countries. We often hear about Africa on the news. It has a lot of poor health, there's a lot of poverty, and also a lot of corruption. But yet Africa is far more responsive to the gospel than what people are here in this country. I think one of the reasons is because they already believe in the supernatural. Many people still go to the witch doctor, and they believe in supernatural things, and they believe in God's here and God's there. And so when we introduce them to the real God, the Lord Jesus, they already believe there is such a thing as a God. So the change isn't quite so dramatic as for someone here who believes there is no God and doesn't see God anywhere. So that respect, it's easier to introduce Africans to the Lord Jesus Christ than it is to people in this country. We broadcast in many different ways. We broadcast in shortwave, we broadcast in medium wave, and also by FM, by satellite radio, and also on the internet. And we're currently broadcasting into about 230 languages, into about 160 countries. That's worldwide, that's not just Africa. And in 1 year, we receive over 1 million letters. And that's a vast number. But when you realize that most people who listen to the radio don't write or contact the station, so we probably have well over 1 million regular listeners worldwide. And so that's quite a responsibility to broadcast the gospel to them. We get many letters. I'll just read out a letter here. I try to include a letter in each of our email updates which I send out, and our prayer letters, to encourage people to praying for the work. And I'll read out one letter here. Dear all at Transworld Radio, I'm so grateful to you. I started listening a few years ago and came across your station by chance. It was exactly what I wanted. I had lost two members of my family. Then I lost a dear, dear friend. And finally, my landlord passed away. I was in a dark place. Transworld Radio blessed me and continues to lift me up. I'm so very grateful. So it's encouraging to us when we get letters like that, and even more encouraging when we hear of listeners who have turned to the Lord, and maybe we hear of whole families often turning to the Lord. Because I work on the technical side of Transworld Radio, we don't receive the letters ourselves, but we get sent copies of letters, so that just for our encouragement to know of the many lives which are being changed as a result of the programs we broadcast. The next picture shows a map of Africa, and you'll see on the bottom country is South Africa, the green one. And just on the right-hand side of that green country, you see a yellow dot. It's this yellow dot here. And that is Swaziland. And that's where we live and work. And Swaziland looks small. It's about the size of Wales. So it's not actually very large. And from there, we can broadcast to most of Africa in shortwave. And unlike Europe, you still have a lot of people in Africa who regularly tune into shortwave. So we can cover most of the continent in shortwave. In medium wave doesn't go so far, but we broadcast to all the neighboring countries here in medium wave. And we also broadcast in FM, and that can't even go so far, even as medium wave. And we use FM just for broadcasting to a particular country. We have Transworld Radio have partners that broadcast FM into Swaziland, another partner that broadcasts into Mozambique, another one into Malawi, others into Kenya. And so we have many different partners broadcasting in FM to their own country. The next picture, you can see a photo of our transmitter site in Swaziland. If you look carefully, you can see many of the masts which we have in that field, that brown field. And in between those masts, there are antenna which actually broadcast the signal. On the left-hand side of that picture, you'll see our transmitter building. Inside that transmitter building, obviously, we have our transmitters. And then between the transmitters and the antenna, we have many cables which go out. You can see a few rows of some bales of hay there. And the grass is a bit of a nuisance there, so we bale up the grass and into bales and sell it. You'll also notice there on the left-hand side, amongst the trees, you'll see a river. And I'll mention more about that river in a few minutes. The next picture shows one of our antenna. You can see there are two masts on the left and the right, and hanging between those masts are the antenna. And we have different antenna pointing in different directions. And so it depends where a particular program needs to be broadcast as to which antenna we use. The next picture is our transmitter building, a closer view. And that transmitter building has been there since the early 1970s. And there's quite an interesting thing which happened while they were building that transmitter building. I wasn't there at the time, but the staff who were there making the building and the builders and the project managers there, they tell us that while they were building, they were running out of sand. And the only roads leading up to that site were dirt tracks. And it was the rainy season, and the lorries of sand were unable to get through. They were getting stuck on the dirt roads. And so the building progress had to stop, and they couldn't continue. So they were praying to the Lord, asking for the rain to stop so that the lorries of sand would be able to reach the site. But instead of the rain getting better, it got worse. And then one particular night, there was a very heavy downpour, and the water level in the river rose higher and higher. The next picture, you'll see the river, and that's the same river that's there going between the trees. When the water subsided down the river, there on the banks, either side, were tons and tons of sand. And it was just about 100 yards away from the transmitter site. So the Lord answered prayer in a very unusual way. And instead of having to buy sand and have it transported there, the Lord provided sand, all that we needed to complete the project, right there, right on our side. So we were very encouraged about that. Another way that the Lord answered prayer back in those early days was actually in the location of where the transmitter site was located. We had some staff who were coming around looking at different places in Swaziland, looking for a good site. And of several different sites they looked at, they identified one site as being the best. So they went along to the king to ask for permission to build a transmitter site there. But the king wouldn't have it. He said, "No, you can't build here. You must build in this particular site." So that's where they had to build. It's not easy to argue with the king. And before they did the building, they did some more tests there, some check the soil conditions, and they discovered that that location was better than the previous location where the Transworld wanted to build. So again, the Lord was guiding, even back in those early days, before the station was being built. The next picture shows three of our transmitters. These are our shortwave transmitters. And to get a signal from there all the way into Africa, we have to have... The signal is quite big. It's 100 kilowatts. And to get a big signal, you need big components. Now, what I have done in every other of my meetings, I showed some electronic components, which we typically use in a radio or TV. And they're extremely small, and they're in a plastic bag, and I showed them around, but I've lost that bag of components. I think what's happened at the end of the last meeting, someone picked up the bag, didn't see the components inside, and probably threw the bag away because they were so small. They're about 2 millimeters big. So you could just have to imagine that we had small components, but this is a component we use on the output of our transmitter to cope with the 100 kilowatts. And that's a capacitor. And in a normal radio, that'd be a minute little component. But that component there can carry 35,000 volts. The next picture shows Klaus, our chief engineer. And with him are three other engineers. There's myself. I'm obviously from this country, from the UK. Klaus is from South Africa. And then we have Toby, who's from Germany, and Greg, who's from Canada. So we have a very international team. We also employ quite a few local staff. And the next picture shows Salema. He's one of our local staff. And I caught him having his sandwich during his lunch break. Yes, I think he was making his own sandwiches, and he probably figured out he could get just as much bread by making one big sandwich as he could making three small ones. I often get asked what we spend our time doing or what a typical day is like. One thing that we don't do is to make the programs. The next picture shows one of our people who does make a program, but all our programs are made outside of Swaziland. Many of them are made in the countries where we're broadcasting the program to. So, for example, this is Amos, and he's a Christian in Malawi, and he'll be making programs for his own people. And it's a good idea to do it that way, because Amos, because he's Malawian, he'll know the culture of his own people, he knows their particular needs, and he can make programs that are far more meaningful for his own people than what we could do. So he would make a program, and then he would send the program to us in Swaziland by the internet. Another thing that we don't do, in the next picture you see our transmitters again. We don't actually operate the transmitters. They turn themselves on and off automatically. They're computer controlled. And so we don't need to do anything for the programs to be broadcast. We start broadcasting at about 5 o'clock in the morning. And we stop at 10 o'clock. Then we continue again at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And broadcasts continue up until 11:30. And most of that time, the transmitters are just turning themselves on and off, and the programs start and stop at the right time. We do have one operator who is there at the site 24 hours, and he's partly there for security and partly there just in case something goes wrong. And if something does go wrong, then he calls us, one of the other technical people, and we'll go down to the transmitter site and find what's wrong. So one of us is always on call at any one time. The next picture shows our antenna again. We do occasionally have to climb those masts, but it's not very often. And in the 3 years I've been with Transworld Radio, I've only climbed there once. And we spend more time outdoors than that. We've probably spent 10% of our time outdoors, but not much of it is up the mast. Most of it is at lower level. If an antenna breaks, then we can lower it to the ground and repair it at ground level, and then we lift it back up again. So what do we spend our time doing? I've said what we don't do. We don't make the programs, we don't test the transmitters, or rather we don't operate the transmitters, and we're not working outside much. So most of the time we are testing the transmitters and making sure they're healthy, and replacing components which are getting tired, or else doing upgrades to the transmitter. The next picture shows one of our transmitters which we are testing and making sure it's functioning well. So this is more of what we're doing on a day-to-day basis. The transmitter, there's a lot of redundancy in the equipment, and part of the transmitter can go wrong, but it will still not prevent it from broadcasting. And so the transmitter will issue us with a message to say that a certain part of it is not working right. So then when it goes off air next, then we will go along and fix it. last year, it was April the 19th. It's a day that we always remember. It was a day when we had a big thunderstorm, and there was hail and thunder and lightning. And before I mention that too far, let's show you the next picture. You can see here those cables that I mentioned previously. Those carry the signal from our transmitter out to the antenna. Well, anyway, during this big thunderstorm, big heavy hailstones fell. And the next picture shows Jessica holding some of the hailstones which fell. It did a lot of damage in Jean's garden, but it also did damage on our transmitter site. There was a tree which fell down onto our cables which take the power to the antenna. When the tree fell on it, we show the next picture, you can see that many of those poles that we saw previously fell. And so that was quite a big problem. Not only did the poles fall, but many insulators broke. And next picture shows many or some of the broken insulators. We spent the next 4 days doing temporary repairs just to get back on air as quickly as possible. And you can see in the next picture that some of us were working from the front of a JCB bucket. Next picture again shows Salema repairing some broken cables. And the next one again shows Salema putting those cables back onto the poles. And since that time, we've done many, we've been back over those repairs and making some of those temporary repairs more permanent to try and prevent the same thing happening again. And we still have even more repairs to do once we get time. So that's yet another project in the pipeline which we need to do. Now, what did I put for the next picture? Yes, here we are. And this is a new transmitter we've recently installed. It's a new medium wave transmitter. It's larger than the medium wave transmitter we had. We just put it in this year. It arrived in the middle of January, and we spent 2 months getting it connected and up and running. And we had to get someone from Switzerland to come and tune the transmitter for us. In the next picture, you can see him with some... Oh, sorry, I missed a picture. This is the inside of that transmitter. The next picture shows you the Rudy from Switzerland tuning the transmitter before we started using it. I often get asked what it's like living in Swaziland. The next picture you can see our housing site. All of the Transworld Radio staff live here. All the overseas staff, all the missionary staff, the technical people. So we live in the house on the one nearest to us on the right-hand side. And you can see the dirt road coming up to the site. And here you can see a closer view of our house itself. It's conveniently close to schools. So Jessica and Bernice don't need to go far. It's only a 7-minute drive to the schools. There's a clinic only a 5-minute drive away. And also there's a spa supermarket nearby where we can get most things. It's only a 10-minute drive. You can see Jessica and Bernice just getting ready for school. They're in grade two and, year two and year four at an international school there in Swaziland. The next picture shows Jean. She kept busy. She enjoys gardening, but most of her time is spent taking the children to and from school or supervising their homework and keeping the house in order. She also enjoys making craft items and sewing. The next picture shows the church we attend. It's called Bamban Chapel. It's about a 40-minute drive from where we live. And people from many different countries attend that church. And because of AIDS, there are many orphans in Swaziland. And as a result of that, because of many orphans, there are many children's homes and a lot of work amongst younger people. And many missionaries and NGOs are working in Swaziland, and many of them attend this church here. Jean also attends a ladies' Bible study group at the church, not this church actually, a nearer church to us during the week. There are hazards of living in Swaziland. One hazard is fire. This is a fire which came right up to our housing compound. In the winter, we don't have any rain at all for 3 or 4 months, and so the ground gets extremely dry, and fire spreads very quickly. So it was quite frightening when we had this fire coming up. Another hazard of living in Swaziland are snakes. And this is a puff adder, which we had in our transmitter building. And we've fortunately not had them in our house, but or in our garden either. But in our neighbouring houses and gardens, we have had snakes. So it's probably just a matter of time before we do find one. I'll finish up with some prayer notes, prayer summary. Pray that many more people will tune into our broadcasts and respond to the gospel that they hear. Pray for safety for ourselves while we're working at the transmitter site. Pray while we're working at heights. And also as we're working in the transmitters because of the high voltages there. Also we ask for prayer while we're working there. Most of our local staff are Christians, but some of them are not. And we ask that we'd be a good witness to them. Also pray for Jean and the children while they're at home and at school in Swaziland. I've got a 6-minute video, which I'll show in a minute, and it shows an interview between Transworld Radio and one of our listeners, which is fine, it's quite interesting. But before we do that, I'll mention there's some literature at the back. You're welcome to help yourself to any of it. I'll leave this book with you. It's a book on the history of Transworld Radio over the last 60 years. And so you're welcome to put that in your library if you have one, or else pass it around from one to one and read it as you wish. If you'd like to receive our prayer letters, either paper ones or by email, then please fill in a little slip at the back there and either hand it to us or leave it at the table at the back. And then we can send you copies of our prayer letter or by paper or email. So I've come to an end now, and we'll see the video to finish up with. So thank you very much.
My name is Tori Emmanuel. I've been listening to all the radio programs since they began being broadcast in my area. I wake up at 4 a.m. every morning to catch the first show of the day, and I continue listening throughout the whole day. Some of them are not in my mother tongue, but I still listen. Normally we listen to the programs as a family, but usually I'm the only one who listens until late at night. I'm an old man who's nearing the end, so it's good to get as much information as possible. When my family is working, I bring the radio outside so that we'll still listen together. My family likes listening to the shows that are broadcast in Bariba. I really like the fact that whenever I want to listen to the program, it's easy for me to tune into the correct frequency, and the quality of the sound is very good. Transworld Radio's shows are really well done. I'm pleased that this radio station wasn't planted in big cities like Cotonou and Parakou here in Benin, but rather it was planted here in a smaller region where people like myself have access to it. I was excited to learn that people were coming to interview TWR listeners, so I'm more than happy to do this interview because it gives me a chance to express my joy and gratitude for what TWR has done for me and my family. We are already so privileged to have received so much from the station, and now to learn that the people who have thrown you a lifeline are willing to go a step further and actually meet you in person and spend time talking to you. I would like to share something very important with you. As happy and blessed as I am for us to have met today, the only joy that surpasses what I'm feeling now is the joy that I have found in Christ. God has used TRR's broadcast to facilitate spiritual growth in my life on a daily basis, and for that I am eternally grateful. There's always something in the broadcast that enriches my life. That is why I make it a point to never miss a show, especially one that is broadcast in my mother tongue. Honestly, there are no enough hours in a day for me to express to you my joy. I'm an old man who's reaching the end of his life, so I take every opportunity that I have here on earth to prepare myself to meet with God the Father one day. Last week Thursday, I was listening to Pastor C.T. John preach, and in his sermon, he mentioned that man cannot save himself or work to earn salvation. The pastor also said that as men, sometimes we think that we are on the right path and doing what is good. But in reality, we are hopelessly lost. And because that's not what God desires of us, He'll pursue us so that He can redeem us. The sermon really prompted me to take a good look at my life and consider what road I was on. The pastor said one thing in conclusion that really touched me. He said that if God is showing you that you are not on the right track, listen to Him. God wants us to be on the road that has an open door at the end of it. And this door is open to all, from presidents to poor men. We all have our place at God's table, provided we listen and obey. Personally, I consider it a miracle that you and I are face to face right now. I mean, it's mind-blowing to think that there are people who lived in a country that I do not know and have never been to and will probably never see. Care enough to create radio programs that minister to people like me. I would like to encourage my fellow brethren to listen to the radio shows, especially if they haven't been doing so in the past, as that is the only way we'll find salvation and to remain rooted in Jesus Christ. I know that the people who have devoted their life to doing these radio programs don't do it for the appeal of money or fame, but rather because they have been called by the Almighty. So I sincerely thank God for their selfless devotion, and I would like to thank these people too. Thank you for all your hard work and planning and for making these shows available. I only ask that you keep doing more broadcasts in the future. I think there should be more radio programs to help the youth grow in Christ and have a deep and meaningful relationship with Him. My generation is dying out and the youth are the future. So I would like to see more broadcasts aimed at helping the youth develop into well-rounded, Christ-centered believers. If we neglect to equip them with Bible-based knowledge, then their future will be dismal. So I wish that this may be the case in future. I share the message of Christ with everyone I meet, young or old, but I first began sharing it in my home. And now today, I can testify to God's goodness. We are all saved and go to church together. I would be saddened if there was a person in my family who wasn't born again. I share the message of Christ because God has laid into my heart to do so since I've been saved. After all, the good news was brought to me through other people's actions, so how can I not do the same? My prayer is that my whole family would become vessels that God used to share His word. Thank you for coming, and I pray that God will continue to enable you to keep doing what you do, and may He bless you abundantly as we, the listeners, have been blessed. Know that you do not labor in vain.